The board is back in session. It was in the bathroom. Oh, okay. My daughter. But, my daughter, come up to my wife and says, well, for me, she is my cop.
And my parents never drank. Like, I've never seen my parents ever drink. Yeah. And my mother, of course, yeah. She would catch my mother. She would open up my sluggish trunk and there'd be like, there's no fresh sluggish hand.
But I couldn't
move
my mom off the floor.
Kind of fear. And you're going to see the cop.
Yes. I like a motion for the board to be back in open session again.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
The board is back in open session at 8:29 p.m. We have a couple of issues to discuss, one of which is I would like to have a motion from someone from the board to vote on a potential litigation for a special ed case and a motion to approve for the settlement of that litigation for student ID letter A. May I have a motion, please?
I motion that we fulfill the settlement for litigation for student A.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone in guest? Passed unanimously. That has been settled. Thank you. The second item is the results of a committee that the board instituted a little over a month ago to resolve the head of school position moving forward. The committee of four individuals that was comprised by Joe Wolcott, Abigail Legros, Tammy Salto, and George Kazandreou will be presenting to you the results of their work and discussions that we had and how we have a proposal available for discussion tonight. So, Joe, may I?
Absolutely. Thank you, Dimitri. As Dimitri said, our committee was tasked with forming what we thought would be the roles and responsibilities of the head of school, Dr. Mamalakos, as lead. We have a recommendation to institute a co-leadership type of model in which we would have one person, which will be Denise Parks, in charge of the academic sphere of the school, and another person in charge of the operational sphere of the school. That individual will be Ricardo Stwick. And let me run through what the committee saw as the roles and responsibilities of each of these spheres. First, for the academic side, the first and probably the most important one of these is to design and implement a full K through 12 educational model. Now that we're going into 12th grade, it's important that someone spearheads that. And I know, speaking on behalf of myself, that Denise is the perfect person for that. She would also be in charge of hiring and supervising staff in the school. So any teacher, if you know, if you want to know who your boss is, it's Denise. There will be expectations that Denise implements methods and to meet or exceed enrollment targets and to improve retention in the school, as well as, and this goes into our strategic plan, the recruitment of high-performing staff. There will also be, on a day-to-day basis, working with Ricardo to make sure that the facilities of the school and this campus as a whole are running at the top level. And let me just preface all this by saying this document that we have right here is not exhaustive. It's a guideline that we will follow in creating and managing these two positions. The next one will be community involvement and engagement. And that means being the face of the academic portion of the school. And also complying with DOE compliance, things like that. There will also be, as is expected of everybody here, including board members, engaging in efforts to strengthen the capital campaign that we're going through. What's that? We're not happy. Yes.
Could we please explain that, because that's very important for the record.
So I want to make a record, because there was a little bit of back and forth on this on my part today. So just so the school community is clear, as my position with the state precludes me from doing any type of capital campaign or fundraising. So anything that the board does from a capital campaign perspective, I don't participate in, just so everybody understands.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. And also, and most importantly, Denise will have the responsibility and the role to create, implement, and manage the academic budget for HOTS. That, again, this is not an exhaustive list. This is what we as a committee and now we as a board are going to discuss in the future, and discuss as Denise's role evolves over time. As far as the operations goes, that position will be in charge of a lot of the things on the business side of this. And we like to think of this as a school, but this is also a $25 million business. And we have certain responsibilities for maintaining the assets on this campus. For example, we have a tenant in Building 26, La Academia. We have hopefully a future tenant in Building 27. We also have St. Thomas that we have to deal with. As part of the operations, this role will be in charge of cafeteria operations, food service. Food service in the school, but also food service to other tenants on the campus. Another area that Ricardo, if voted on by the board, will maintain and oversee are the facilities. And it's expected that the facilities on this campus will be world-class throughout the entire campus, not just this school, but for also the other tenants that we have on the property. He will also be in charge of transportation. He's already shown that he's had great success in that, along with Evan, and it will be expected that he continue that going forward. There will also be, as he's already done, long-term strategic planning for the school, and that involves the potential income streams that we have as tenants on the campus. He'll also be in charge of campus-wide strategic planning for facilities, things like that. Also, as I think Dimitri discussed a few meetings ago, a campus-wide health and wellness program that Ricardo can oversee. He'll also oversee the many, many construction projects that we have going on, the gym, the classrooms, and any other build-out and any other tenant facilities that we have. Also, he'll be tasked with managing what our neighbors will be doing, Petnero. He'll also be in charge of, and as he's done many times before, being the face of the school for the investors. He's already built a lot of credibility with the investors, and we want to maintain that credibility. And also, as importantly, as I mentioned with Denise, he will be in charge of creating, implementing, and managing an operations slash business budget for the campus. So again, this is a this is not an exhaustive list, but the idea is that we have somebody in, with Denise's capabilities in charge of the academics, someone with Ricardo's capabilities and qualifications in charge of business. And let me say one important thing, that this, we had a lot of conversations, but the driving factor behind this is that this is a, the issue was whether or not we have one person at the top or we have a team. At this point in time in this school's history, in this school's life, the committee's recommendation is that with the people that we have, we want to put them in the best position to succeed. And we think, as a committee, that having this team-based approach is the best use of our people. Is this the system that we will have for years in the future? Maybe, maybe not. If we can find that one person who can fill all of those needs, that may be possible. So, this is the recommendation of the board. Let me go through some of the terms, and anybody else can jump in as well on the committee. The terms, since these two are meant to be co-equals, they will be compensated equally. It will be a, correct me if I'm wrong, a salary of $150,000 per year, plus equal benefits moving forward. Both these positions will be co-leaders in the school, and they will both report directly to the board. And it will be a, the recommendation from the committee is that these contracts be for a term of 2 years. So that is the recommendation of the committee. Anybody else from the committee can discuss any of those aspects or anything else you want to discuss, but that was the ultimate recommendation of the board, of the committee, for a proposal to the board.
Any comments from the board, from the committee members?
No, not this time.
Anybody from the side of the table?
No.
Okay, thank you. We'd like to give you an opportunity to give us your opinion regarding this. I know you're here because you care about our school and you want to share your thoughts with you. So if you want to, please identify yourself and tell us what your thoughts are based on what you heard. Yes, Billy.
My opinion, co-leadership doesn't work. Somebody's got to be the man. In the end, it doesn't work. That's my opinion. The second, I would like to know the successes that this man's had to put him in this position. You guys all know Wilmington's very small. I just want to know the successes that he has had to put him in the position where you're going to put him at.
I am going to call of Peter Svan, who has worked with Ricardo and many of us for a number of years to help us establish this school. So Peter, would you like to answer some of, I'm not saying you can answer all of these questions, but some of them, if you don't mind identifying yourself and
I'm Peter Svan and I was right here. See Charter School was instrumental in knowing the school for some probably 5 or 6 years now, instrumental in getting the bond financing which purchased this campus almost 3+ years ago. I have known Ricardo in various capacities. He has had background with Royale Charitable Foundation. He has had background in Innovative Schools. I was a creator of the loan guarantee program, which Innovative Schools has used and Ricardo implemented and operated in support of many other charter schools in the state of Delaware. I am aware of some of his work with the Longwood Foundation and the Community Education Building. And in all of that, he has very good financial sense, very good budgeting capabilities. He knows Delaware in terms of funding, which is fairly unique and complicated, backwards and forwards very well. And all those experiences have all been positive from my experience. And I think he is highly regarded by the bondholders and bond investors who have put their money into Odyssey Charter School.
So would that be why you're hiring him? Because it's fondness of the bondholder versus what is possibly in the best interest of the school? We have employees here that are actually quite capable of doing a COO type job.
And can I ask for the record? I know who you are, Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But can you please state your name before you speak?
I'm sorry. Yes, my name is Jeff Alice, and so it's just disturbing to hear that it felt like you were saying that because the bondholders are so fond of him, that's where the recommendation to hire him versus what might be best for the school, the staff, and the students.
Just so we're clear, my personal interests have always been first and foremost, and I've worked with many charter schools around the country. It's always about the kids and what's best for the school. Personal friendships aside, I've had fellow board members I turned down for loans when I was a banker. So it's about what's best for the kids. It's about what's best for the school, in my opinion. And I believe Ricardo has expressed those sentiments to me many times over. It's about the kids. It's about the quality of the operations. So the bondholders, they are an important partner to you. They just don't give you $33 million and run away at high. They're an important constituent. There are things we need to do in compliance with them, and there are things we need them to do that would benefit Odyssey down the road. So they are an important partner.
Thank you, Peter. By the way, Peter Svan is not hiring Ricardo. Anybody else that wants to speak on behalf of Ricardo Stoikis, someone who may have worked with him? I will appreciate that. Yes, John.
John Stewart. I'd like to say that the board made a wise and great decision on hiring the new parts as a structural leader.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Ryan Connell. For several months now, you've had stakeholders from the school come into these meetings, and they've told you all they're not being heard. This is a tone deaf move. You all have this construction project that we badly need. This, for all intents and purposes, stalled out, and you're coming in here. You're making another six-figure job. I think that's just absolutely crazy at this juncture in time. We have this Ithaca project that he's been tasked with that seems to be at this point a money pit. Give him a lot of money. I've seen his invoices. I've reviewed them all today. We've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to him. Project didn't get off the ground. I don't even know where we are with that. Are we going to keep paying money on that? There are no answers to that. So a lot of money was paid to him on that particular project with, so far, not a lot of results. And the idea that you're going to have a co-head of the school with a $150,000 salary that you're not going to openly post and put out on a competitive marketplace to find the best person for the job. That's just indicative of the vibes that we've had in here of people not being heard. People want to be heard. They want to have input. They want you to look for new people. They want new insight. They want the best person in the job. And when you go behind closed doors or you carve off a four-person group and you come back and you just announce, oh, we're going to hire this guy, I mean, that's just...
You mean Denise?
I'm not talking about Denise. I don't think anybody has a problem with that issue. You know, beyond that, I was reviewing Ricardo's billing contracts today. It might be surprising to you know, to know that he was billing you by the hour to renegotiate his contract for next year. That's not a professional service. I mean, who's reviewing these contracts? I mean, he has been milking you on these contracts. And I think Ricardo is a nice guy, and I think he has done some good things. But I feel like he has not been managed appropriately. And to just come in here and just anoint him a co-head of the school without any kind of discussion is just crazy.
Thank you. Anybody else?
That's my position.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Evan?
Evan Whitaker, transportation supervisor. I've worked closely as the dean with Denise for 2 years. I've worked closely with Ricardo for about 8 months with his transportation project that just went off, and I fully endorse both of the positions. Now, I know that there might be, you know, some backlash or some back thinking. That's what we do, is people think negatively sometimes. But when I say that I've worked closely with Denise, she's helped me navigate through very, very difficult situations as a lower school dean. And the same thing with my position with Ricardo. He's helped us navigate through what I thought was no end in sight. I thought we would never, ever fix transportation. And now, day in and day out, I stand and I high-five people because our buses arrive on time. And I don't get to high-five Denise as much as I'd like to because I am in transportation now, but we did use to high-five when we had major successes in education with not only students, but with teachers. And the same thing the on the side of Ricardo. Now, Ricardo's not with me on a daily basis because he was off, and he did say that. His goal was to teach me how to run transportation, and I was very wet behind the ears, and I'll say I still am very wet behind the ears about what goes on with transportation, but I can tell you that I do still need those supports. And Ms. Parks asked me the other day, she said, well, what is it going to look like come September? And I put up my hands and I said, I don't know, because we're still utilizing 12 first student buses. And it could go one way, or could it go the other way? Could we be in the same position that we are, and I have to go out while possibly partnering with Red Clay School District and fall flat on my face and not have the support that I need to make sure that that partnership goes well, and make sure that that partnership with our parents goes well too. So, and I can say that with full faith that if I do have Ricardo and Denise both in my corner, that if there is a significant issue with first student, that no one's gonna hesitate for a second to stand up and say, well, should we buy more buses? How many buses should we buy? How many drivers should we hire to fix that issue, to get our parents here? There's not one parent on that parent page complaining about transportation right now. So, and I definitely did not do that by myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anybody else?
How about Denise?
I would say that I want to say thank you to everyone who came out tonight, parents, staff. We have been talking, I've been talking with the committee for, it feels like months now, but certainly in earnest for the past month. And given where we landed today and working with the committee, I feel that we have a path forward. I feel that we compromised on through this process, and I believe that we can move this school forward in a positive direction with what the committee is proposing. Nothing is in writing yet, and we're working through that, but based on where the conversations are now, I do believe that there's a path forward that we can be unified in doing that.
Thank you, Denise. Anybody else?
I'd like to say a couple things. For the past couple weeks, we've met as a committee, guys and gals, and if you've seen me in the hallway, you've seen the absolute toll that it has taken. I did not come here tonight thinking that this would be something that would divide us. You look at Wilmington Charter, that's divisive right now. And I don't want Odyssey to be that way. I truly, truly don't. I work here. I'm ingratiated in here. My kids go to school here. I love it here. Do I agree with this decision and this model being the optimal one for this? No. But at this point, through the negotiation, the compromise that we went to, knowing that there's five votes that are clear, this moment is a pivotal moment. We can either divide or we can come together and support. And please don't think that I entered into this lightly at all. I mean, I've been totaling up Ricardo's invoices. I've been researching the bylaws and charters and all the laws that go into this. And we've talked things over with the attorneys in regards to any violations. But I want you to know that I have your back and we have to have each other's.
Thank you, Tommy.
Five fixed votes, isn't that the elephant in the room?
So my agenda out again. First off, I would like to say I'm highly disappointed in the board because I think it is a huge slap in Denise Parks' face to not make her in charge and have a director of operations report to her. While I absolutely agree 100%, you need a operations position. I wrote a job description for that 3 years ago, and Nick and Denise and Kate and I, we all talked about that, needing that, because you do. You need an operations lead. However, should it be a co-lead? Absolutely not. And I think you have just disrespected this woman who has been through hell and high water with you for years, put up with so much stuff, come through no money, trying to get programs put together last minute. My God, remember 2 years ago you did that diagram for the ninth grade. It was a beautiful thing. And to not let her lead this organization and this school, she's earned it. And everyone loves her. The teachers love her. The parents love her. And for you to say she's not good enough to direct a manager of operations or a director of operations and to manage the everything, that is a slap in this woman's face. And I am ashamed and disappointed that the board has turned into this, because this woman deserves it. Yeah, Ricardo can do some good things. He hasn't had a stellar record. Fine, you want to make him an operations director? We all mean it. But dear Lord, let the man report to her so she can run the school like we know she can. So I'm just... had your back over everything. Just disgusting. Just disgusting.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Susan Bud. I don't like talking. I guess I'm just a little confused. The last meeting we were here, I talked and I asked about who the next headmaster was, and we left thinking it was me. So we left feeling, So I just wanted to know, like, within 3 weeks, where did Ricardo come from? Like, how did he just pop up and become, what he's going to be?
So I can answer that because I've answered your question at the meeting. And at that meeting, nothing was set in stone. Nothing. There was nothing that was offered. There was nothing that could be agreed on. So nothing was set in stone. I said, this is what the board is intending. And I meant, I didn't want to give you any false expectations, so I apologize if I did. And the idea of a co-leadership, wasn't new after that. Ricardo just didn't pop up out of nowhere. That's why I brought up the idea of renewing his contract at that meeting. His contract is ending.
He was just a consultant, right?
Correct. But doing a lot of the same things that he was doing as a consultant, doing a lot of new things as a full-time employee. Now he doesn't have to wait for the directive of the board to do those kinds of things. So the board has full faith in Denise to do the job that the committee has full faith in Denise to do the job that we propose she does. And the committee also has full faith in Ricardo to do the job that we're proposing he be tasked with. So together, the committee believes that that is the best path forward at this time. And that's why we've made the recommendation that we have.
Anybody else on the floor?
My name is Lexi Wendell. I'm a teacher. I guess we're all wondering, is there an explanation for why the co-leadership has been decided and versus why not what was presented alternatively?
The committee at this point feels that with the people that we have, this puts those people in the best position to succeed for the best in the best interest of the school and the children. So that's why we made the decision. That was part of the reason why we made this, the recommendation that we did.
Yes, back at the corner there.
Hi, Casey. I guess my question is, when we left the last board meeting, we were under the impression that Ricardo was working with Ithaca. So now that he is now co-headmaster with Denise, what is happening to Ithaca?
So that will still remain to be played out. That's got to be developed. Ithaca, that building is an asset of the school, of Odyssey. And we owe landlord, one of the things that he was tasked to do was to create an income stream from that asset. So he will continue to do that, but we need to figure out exactly what that looks like. We don't want to, he will be an employee of the school, and we do not want to, we want to do things in the best interest of the school, and that means if that means putting Ithaca to the side, that means putting Ithaca to the side. If it means putting resources in Ithaca, it means putting resources in Ithaca. That remains to be seen.
I don't remember us discussing it like that. I thought we had discussed that Ithaca would be a separate entity and Ithaca's board would then take over, because he cannot be working for Ithaca.
So that's not part of the recommendation. That
separate.
That remains to be seen. That needs to be discussed.
That's something that very like important to discuss.
Like it is.
And co-headmaster. Yeah, kind of a conflict of interest.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
And for part of these, still work in academia?
No.
No longer work there.
What happened there? Yeah, why don't work for you? Well, because the need for my consulting services ended. I mean, the philosophy that we have always had personally and with Innovative Schools was always to build capacity. And so the sunsetting, as they implemented their transportation program, as they successfully renewed their charter, and we successfully transitioned Innovative Schools away from being a CMO, and them hiring their own operations manager, intentionally we said we're going to sunset the work.
So they sunsetted their consultant, and we're bringing ours on board. That makes sense.
Yes?
Hi, I'm Jennifer Michaels. I'm a mom for the school, not that teacher. So has this position been put out to for an interviewing process, or was just chosen for him? Because it seems like the Ithaca program was not a success, and so therefore that money that was put in for his acquisition wasn't fruitful. And so was there any thought about if you're going to be hiring an operations manager, so you're putting out to make sure you have the most optimal operations manager?
Yes, next one.
So that there's no answer,
or is it put out? So I'm not sure if you're making a statement.
I have a question. Was
no, the
yeah.
Neither position nor Denise's or Ricardo's position have been advertised or circulated.
We talked about it. Mm-hmm. But
yes.
Part of it is, I'll be perfectly honest, part of it is the timing, you know, so to post a position
so
like
then
that.
But you're contracting for 2 years at $150K, which is a significant amount of money for a school that is running bare bones. Wouldn't you want to put that, you're putting a lot of money into an investment, wouldn't you want to invest some time, you have a committee, to make sure that you have the most optimum person for the job?
Well, just to be clear, the committee has been existing for 4 months, but, agreed, in an ideal world, if we lived in an ideal world, there'd be a search committee and we'd have this all mapped out and we'd employ a recruitment firm and we'd go out and do a nationwide search for the best people, and maybe those would be people sitting in this room, or maybe they wouldn't. But we aren't living in that ideal world. And so, listen, I will be upfront and echo some of what Tammy said, which is this isn't my ideal structure. And I have a decent amount of skepticism about whether a co-leadership model can work. It does actually exist, I have since learned. But it's certainly not the norm or even, you know, a large minority. But the reality of the situation is we're up against a time frame that didn't, in our view, as a committee, allow for us to employ that search. It's a perfectly valid question, and I'm not faulting the question, it's just that's sort of the reality of the situation.
This question,
yes.
Your statements then beg the question, why do you recommend a 2-year contract instead of a 1-year contract to then entertain direct search? And please, I'm not meaning to hurt anyone's feelings.
My feelings aren't hurt, yeah.
Not yours.
Again, that's a valid question. I think our perception as a committee was part of what the school needs is some stability. And so if we put out 1 year, we're essentially having to evaluate the way contracts work. My understanding anyway, is most administrators have a decision about whether their contract is being renewed sometime in the December timeframe. The teachers and administrators in the room can correct me if this is wrong. And that's when then the hiring process kind of happens in those ensuing couple of months. So if we put in a 1-year contract, we essentially have to make a decision probably in November, at best December, whether we're going to renew these. And we didn't feel it gave us a lot of time to evaluate. So the part of the reason for 2 years is let's give this time to see if it works or not.
And as it was my understanding also that it's a realm of a succession plan too for Denise after the 2 years. Then Denise will be well vested and vetted, and then she can become a head of school. You know, like Abby said, echoing, I think we've got 2 schools that we know of who do this. But again, you know, we have Denise and we have ourselves, and we're invested in this school to make sure that it's operating at the peak level that Odyssey is. Odyssey is a premier school, and we need to keep it that way, plain and simple.
Yes, I have a couple concerns, I guess. Abby, you mentioned, you know, the key word is stability, and, you know, Denise would be the
responsibility, you know, for her to be at the helm of everything. My concern is, and I don't think I'm alone, is the last time we were here, we talked about Carter's contract, and Tony mentioned he made $125 an hour, and on the table was, are we renewing his contract? Well, all of a sudden, now he's head of operations. Is that because we just have to keep him for some reason? And secondly, how are we, if he is going to be in charge of operations and also part of Ithaca, how are we to know that some of the money that comes into Odyssey is not going to be used for Ithaca, as it already has been? And who is going to oversee that and evaluate?
There seems to be a bit of confusion about what Ithaca is and what we're doing with Ithaca.
But we've already bought, money from Odyssey has already gone to Ithaca.
Just like money from Odyssey went to academia. Mm-hmm. A lot of money and a lot of personal time. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't go around advertising the things all the time, but as a landlord here on this campus, we have invested a great deal of money in academia and personal time and effort that's worth even more money, and we're doing the same thing with Ithaca. Why? Because the efforts that we put into academia right now are generating over $800,000, maybe $900,000 in revenue to Odyssey every year.
Right, but academia is up and running.
Correct. And Ricardo was instrumental in academia being up and running. Many of you do not know that. If we were to call Dr. Maria Alonso, their board president, she will tell you that Ricardo has been instrumental for this school to be on our campus, to have a charter renewal, to be expanded into over now 500 plus, maybe 600 students, and to have a fully built facility and their own buses. Ricardo has done all those things for them. They did not do them by themselves. Now, by Ricardo doing all those things, that has secured a probably $900,000 revenue stream to our school. That's a lot. He has paid for next year's and the years after salary in spades. What we're doing with Ricardo, with academia, is exactly the same thing. We have invested a modest amount of money to get that building up and running. Academia is, Ithaca is doing fairly well. It will be up and running next year. We had to take a hiatus so that we can become better organized to attract families and to attract additional investment. And we happen to have the support of a lot of credible, legitimate organizations and individuals who will be supporting that effort at Ithaca. That includes two major universities that have signed up to be our partners in that venture. So now let me clarify to you what Ricardo's role may be if this board votes for his position. He will be working now on the payroll instead of as a consultant to make sure that, just like academia remains a viable tenant on this campus, Ithaca also becomes a viable tenant on this campus that could be generating upwards of $300,000 a year revenue to the school. And there will be no conflict of interest because Ricardo is not on the board of Ithaca. He was acting as a consultant to help us get that part of our facility to generate income, because that income is extremely important to our school. This has been part of the school's strategic plan when we bought this campus, and instead of demolishing these two buildings, we kept them as income-generating assets. So this effort has been consistent with the original intentions of this school and its board to create not just a place for Odyssey to grow up, but also to create a formidable, veritable, very successful educational campus that will include Odyssey, academia, and next year Ithaca. That alone is going to provide all of us with numerous opportunities on both the business and the educational side. Ithaca, just like academia, would be participating on multiple initiatives that are beneficial to everybody on this campus. The transportation issue that was very nicely addressed by Evan is one of them. Until very recently, we were fighting off irate families whose children were arriving very late to your school, and thanks to Ricardo, you no longer have that problem. I hope you were listening to what Evan said to you. He wiped out single-handedly one of the biggest problems we had here that was more than a sword in our side. It was a deadly problem for us. We no longer have that. Academia was about to go out of business unless when they lost their transportation contract, and in a matter of a few weeks, Ricardo's knowledge from our campus allow academia to go and purchase their buses in a few weeks alone. And what happened there? Academia is a tenant on our school, paying us over $800,000-$900,000 in revenue a year. The DOE was going to come very hard on them without a transportation contract. Ricardo saved them, saved our tenant. There are multiple examples like this. If you listen to Peter Zwang, you would know that 2 years ago, when our school was in need of proper financial management and discipline, it was Ricardo and Karen Thorpe, through Innovative Schools, that came here. They provide us with that financial discipline, to the point where when we had monthly calls with our investors to check both our academics, but most importantly, the financial condition of our schools, key elements of our performance, it was Ricardo and Karen that restored that confidence in our investors, to the point now where a couple of months ago they told us they no longer need to put us under a magnifying glass monthly with reports, and they only need to talk to us on a quarterly basis. And not only that, the project that someone is talking about as a failed project, the large gymnasium, is actually the labor of a lot of hard work and sweat and tears to generate $10 from here, $25 from there, $100 from there, so we can build a gymnasium for our children, because not only they don't have a place for them to exercise, but we're losing numerous students every year that they want to go play sports someplace else. Now, what does it have to do with Ricardo? The financial discipline that he implemented in our school allowed the investors to return back to us $1.4 million that was given to us by the Longwood Foundation 3 years ago, and the investors put in an escrow account, telling us that you'll get that money when your financials and your academics together are at peak performance. Well, a few months ago, with Ricardo's help and Peter Zwang's help, they released $500,000 to us. That went to build the small gym, to build Building 21, that was fundraised money. You wouldn't have a Building 21 right now without this $500,000. And you wouldn't have the small gym without that money. And then, a few months later, they released another $500,000. Now, they told us that in June, they will release the other $400,000 that will basically guarantee at least the erection of our gym if we manage getting $25 here, $50 there, to get the rest of the money so we can erect that gym structure and put 8 classrooms in that building that Denise so dearly needs for August, 2 months from now. We just started demolition. And we're managing fundraising money by collecting a few pennies here and a few pennies there to build those facilities. And this has been the story of Odyssey for the last 3.5 years. We're not swimming for money. We're not wasting money. We are fundraising money so we can build this building here, retrofitted, building 22, building 21, the small gymnasium, and now the large gym and building 23, all with fundraising money. Let me give you one final number. When we got 34 plus million dollars in bonds, do you know how much money was left of everybody and the banks were paid, the escrow accounts were created? I'll give you the number. 3.266 and pennies, million dollars. For that $3 million, we had to do 250,000 square feet of space, build a small gymnasium, demolish two buildings, build fields, and now build another gymnasium. $25 here, $25 there, that's where we're at. And right now this board is making the best decision possible to keep steady on this effort that allows us not only to exist, but also to be successful. Just a little background and a little history. And
Hi, I'm Mary Kate Smiley. I'm a teacher here. We heard from Denise regarding her thoughts about this decision and the future, and we're kind of all talking about Ricardo as if he's not even here. So I would like to hear from him to create some type of understanding of who he is, what his vision is for Odyssey in the next 2 years, and you know, help us get to know Ricardo so that we then, as Tammy said, can be supportive, because at this point I don't feel like I know.
Thank you. Ricardo, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Well, thank you. It's been an interesting evening. Let me just give a little bit of background in terms of my personal journey and career. Over 35 years, over 17 years, spending corporate America, working for DuPont, both here in the U.S. and in South America. Held about 15 different jobs over 17 years, including being the corporate treasurer of a $300 million subsidiary, its corporate controller, its HR director with 1,500 employees in the subsidiary. Have had business experience running a business in South America. Here in the States, I work in finance and mergers and acquisitions and partnerships. So that's sort of 17 quick snapshot of 17 years of corporate experience that I bring to personal, I bring to the table. I then switched into the nonprofit entrepreneurial world, started a small art distribution business, and then for the past 15 years I've been in the nonprofit space, working with direct service agencies, Latin American Community Center, the Rodel Foundation, and then moving to the community education building. I was the first president of the community education building, had to develop the full 475,000 square feet that were donated by Bank of America, transforming that building into a building for four schools, and creating what the community education building board was looking to create, a world-class education campus on 11 stories in downtown Washington to serve urban children that did not have access to high quality education. We launched the building, I started that in 2012, and in 2014 we launched the building. The building was slated to have four tenants. We opened with two tenants, the first one being Academia and Kumba Academy, and we had already a third tenant committed for the following year, that was Great Oaks. The transition there, once we developed, and so the development of that facility from a facility perspective was, I think, a very interesting experience that gives me a perspective of doing a vertical project on a horizontal basis in terms of the campus. The challenge, so worked at the CEB, then I worked with Innovative Schools. That's when, you know, I left the CEB because we passed the baton to an educator, because the big question that we were discussing was, you know, at the CEB, is that a business proposition to be a landlord to tenants, or did the was the CED created to transform education for the urban population of students that don't have access to a class educational opportunity? And we came to the conclusion that it made sense to transition it to an educator. And so we transitioned the time to an educator, then we did a national search and brought somebody from out of state to lead the initiative. At Innovative Schools, that's where we connected, because there was some turnover here. Karen and myself and other members of the team, Renee, who's here today, who transitioned from Innovative Schools to Odyssey. We rendered services, and so we started learning about the school's operation. The opportunity here, you talk about the vision, and I look at the opportunity here, in terms of a great academic institution. The challenge is, or the opportunity is, based on the board's vision for this campus, is that the school is also a landlord. And the complexity of this goes way beyond the complexities of the CV. The CV was a separate, independent nonprofit that all their job was to be a landlord to facilitate quality education, shared services, and all of that. Created a community council so that the school leaders and the CV would be working together, thinking about the operations of the campus and partnership opportunities. Here, the challenge is greater because you've got a school that is also a landlord, which introduces tensions. And engaging and discussing and reconciling those tensions, you know, the question that you raised, are you still working for academia? Absolutely valid question in the sense it's going to be very hard to say, okay, you're wearing hunting hats here. And who do you represent in these kinds of conversations? Absolutely. If there was a separate landlord, very easy, even in terms of just the school. Now, when do you have to favor being part of the campus, or when do you take a stance of we're just focusing on our street? These are all issues that need to be discussed at the board level, be contemplated as part of the strategic plan, as well as threading it through successful standalone school operations. You know, questions that might be asked as Dimitri raised. Most charter schools, as we know, are fiercely independent. They want to own their own world, their own space, and all of that. That was one of the challenges we had with the CED. How do you retain tenants for the long haul? One of the challenges Odyssey had in its first years with Pantano was that it was a commercial lease and the landlord was extracting a very big penny out of Odyssey, making it almost unaffordable to be a tenant. And so there are questions here that somebody or a group of people need to engage in many of these discussions in terms of being a landlord. What if academia chooses to move? What are the implications when you lose $1 million of revenue? On the Odyssey business side, the Odyssey operations. So, you know, personally, you know, this is sort of my journey where I come from. You know, I've patched together many experiences on many different fronts that I personally believe on a consulting basis, as in the past, as an opportunity for consideration for being part of the team. I believe in the vision that the board has to create a global education campus that would put Odyssey Charter Fair Square on the national scene and on the international scene. But there is considerable heavy lift in terms of designing what this campus looks like to entertain the kinds of relationships and rapports to build the long-term success, not only for Odyssey, but also for its tenants. Hope that gives you a little bit of a perspective. Yes?
Thank you.
I guess one of my questions is, it sounds like you have a great resume and you've gotten all these awesome CUMA and Great Oaks and academia, all the, you've gotten them started. Odyssey's already established, and I feel like we are on completely different levels of those schools. So I just,
well, I think that CUMA has been around for longer than Odyssey. They moved into that building because they were expanding from a K-5 to an A-8. We've known that their long-term goal has been to have their own K-12 campus. They want to be in town for that. And so they, the CV has similar challenges. CUMA leaves and they're taking two floors, north of $1 million of revenue, not only to, not just in tenant revenue, not to mention also the revenue they make for shared food services, just like Odyssey has. You know, so all of that, they're facing, you know, they live some of the same challenges. Great Oaks, yes, the school came here because they were expanding. They already had a presence in Connecticut, in New Jersey, and New York. So that was an expansion network of schools. And academia coming to Odyssey, for them it was a blessing, because when they went to, when we threaded them at and accepted them at the CPD, they ended up having a kindergarten class that was twice the size than originally projected, and they were on the fifth floor of the building. So they started facing some amazing logistical issues of getting kids up and down to the playgrounds and things like that. And that is really the driver of why they were looking for the opportunity to move, because it was affecting their instructional time and so on. So I think that the experience that I have acquired is a mix, not only in the sense of working with new charters like academia that's gone successfully through the first renewal, but working with the CUMAs of life and working with the Odyssey.
Any other statements or questions from anybody? Yes?
My name is Monica and I'm one of the parents. I guess my question is this. I understand that each one of them have their specific skills and abilities. If there is ever a conflict between the two worlds, who has the last word and the last decision on it? Like, you know, I know that Denise will probably have the best in the academics and our children and which is what is really important to us. We're not on the business side. I know that we need the business side to develop the school, but at the same time, our kids, like my kids, were important than I know. So if there is some sort of conflict because the money has to be spent in a certain way or be done in a certain way, who's going to make the last decision? Is the board overseeing
Denise?
So if I could jump in, this is something that I did want to address. As we've been talking with the committee, I've been talking with the committee about what this co-leadership model might look like. One of the biggest concerns I had and a talking point was the business office and the budget and finance, because I could potentially see, and perhaps that's where you're going, you know, if there are needs that we have to run the school, I wanted to make sure that there was autonomy with the budget when it came to day-to-day operations of the school. And that's right up until, you know, today, that's what we've been talking about. That was, I think that a lot of what has been discussed tonight, I'm very comfortable with, and I think that working with Ricardo, we can grow the school in a very positive way. But when it came to the budget and finances, that's where I had to make sure that we could do what we needed to do. And at the same time, there are needs that we have around construction. And the beauty of it is that we're going through this right now. The budget every year is a collaborative effort. And we have
John in with facilities that puts together his budget. We have numbers that come in via Ricardo and Karen and Dimitri regarding construction for the following year. And then there's the whole academic piece, which honestly is the lion's share of what we spend every year. And I need the committee to confirm this, but where we're at right now is that specifically with the business office and sciences, and please stop me if I'm wrong, because I want us to be very clear about this. The business office will report to both Ricardo's position and to my position. That was important, that it was not segmented, siloed in one position or the other, because it also provides for checks and balances too. And honestly, that's a good thing for everyone. And the pieces of the budget that affect our school, the day-to-day, when I say our school, the academic operations, that of Odyssey Charter School, the educational institution, will be under my purview, my oversight, supervision, monitoring, et cetera, et cetera. And the pieces that are specific under Ricardo's responsibilities, be it construction and some of the other various responsibilities that he discussed, that Joe had mentioned, would fall under Ricardo's oversight. But ultimately, the ladies in the business office, that whole piece, there's equal communication. We're working together equally. And if there are some conflicts, that's where we work it through right now in our budget conversations. This is where that collaboration occurs. And if down the road, I mean, because this is uncharted territory for us, if there are issues moving forward, then that's the responsibility of, first of all, Ricardo and I working together as professionals for the best of this school. And if that, for some reason, can't occur, then that's why we have a board.
So Denise is correct in what she's saying, and part of her responsibility, which is here in this outline that Joe provided to you, she has the responsibility to build out her budget every year for the academic side. She has the responsibility to get it approved by the board. And then she has a responsibility to make sure that she stays true to that budget and performs on that budget. The kind of financial discipline I was referencing earlier in my conversation, in my comments with you, is applied right now along the lines that Denise is talking about. Right now, with Karen's help, we hold regular meetings where administration, Denise is a big part of that, as we speak, with myself, and our vice and our treasurer meet regularly, and we go through all different kinds and iterations on our budget in its way for that budget to be a preliminary budget, to come to the board, to be approved, and all the way to a final budget to come to the board to be approved. So we don't want to lose this financial discipline, and like Denise said, we're not going to do anything to disturb that. We have good checks and balances in the system that no one person can make arbitrary decisions, but everybody has a responsibility to collaborate and work with one another. We've been doing that. We plan to continue doing that.
If I may just
sure.
also add something with regards to what Denise was sharing. I think part of the evolution that has happened over the past 3 years, as the school has grown and become more complex in terms of its operations as a school and as a landlord, Karen has been instrumental, you know, as the expert in FSN, in the financial system, with the support of Renee, in this, in extending the budgeting capability of the school. It was operations, and probably there was a facilities and a technology budgets few years ago, and at the request of the board and under the guidance of the CBOC, that was expanded. So that now, for in the coming years, the goal is that for the individual accountability is that Evan will be developing a transportation budget and will be held accountable for that transportation budget. Food services will have a much more robust budget and will be held accountable for that. Buildings 26 and 27 will also, you know, we would have a budget that would be managed in terms of the revenues that come in and the expenditures that get charged and so on. So instead of having a broad budget that historically, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because you know, looking at it, was more of a higher level with some input from some of the departments, this is going to be a lot of bottoms up working, and then in these committees that you have been working with Karen and so on, where there's a reconciliation, because then all of this needs to be translated. Just finishing a budget is the critical step, but then that has to also be translated into investor fees because of the investor covenants that they require that the school meet each year. And the covenant, there's one covenant that is flat, and there's one covenant that is growing, which is expressed in days. It's 45 days, 50 days, 55 days, 60 days, cash on hand. And that's a challenge as you're growing a business or growing a school, which needs the cash. And so there's that translation that once you've done the budget, you have to vet it against the requirements of what the investors are expecting in terms of their covenants. So that's an added level of complexity that Odyssey, unlike most other schools, does not face. So I think the school has been evolving very solidly in terms of the financial accountability as a whole, but is also creating the tools for the individual management of individual departments.
So if the board has been listening, this is Jen Ballas again, I almost feel like Ricardo just talked himself out of a job. Karen went into deep dive detail and got the budget set up in which Ricardo then presented. Dimitri, when we had the $3 million left, you worked heaven and earth to make that money go as far as possible. Denise just sat here and talked about all the responsibilities of the school, the operations, the food service, the, you know, everything. And again, did you listen? What Ricardo has done his work. He has managed us out of it. We have the budget now. We have those processes in place. You even said it every quarter now with the investors. That's great news. So, you know, we have John who's managing facilities. You know, we have someone who's doing the food service, which is apparently amazing now. I mean, you know, we have Evan who's doing the busing. I mean, and yes, does everyone need a little help to grow? Sure. But Dimitri, I know you're stepping down this year. I think this is your last year on the board for at least a year or two. You know, you're going to be available to help consult. Dimitri, you know so much. I mean, you could step in and help with the busing if needed be. I mean, this school is a passion of yours. Why are we adding $150,000 salary to a school that we are so in need of money, the $5 and $10 to build the gym? And we have a leader who knows what she's doing, and she knows how to get resources for Evan or for John or for the food service or for everybody. I mean, my God, you just sat up here and talked about it all. And with the fact that, you know, you're so talented, Dimitri, in terms of the resources you find. I mean, Christ, you pull stuff out of the air, buddy. I mean, we've been working together a long time, and I know that you work some major magic. And I just am struggling with this man just stood here and talked himself out of a job, because it is Karen that works the numbers. And she works with the finance team and building the budget and presenting to you guys. I just do not understand what this board is not hearing and why we're investing in another headcount at such a high salary when we already have the staff in place. We have the board. We have the intelligence on the board. We have you that hopefully will be around to help next year, not being here and being bogged down in board business, and which frees you up to do, you know, not, you know, be stuck with all the laws and the rules around board work. And I'm just scratching my head, and I know everyone on staff is speaking nice and we got to move forward, but I really am begging you to really listen to what was said tonight, and do we really need this? I think we already have the team in place, and I think with your help, I don't see us needing to bring on another $150,000 in your salary plus benefits, which drives that cost up where we so desperately need it elsewhere. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments?
I have one simple question before we leave. Are we getting consulting bills for tonight?
No.
Are we going to get a consulting bill for me, Jim?
Ryan, I'm going to say that you're out of order right now. Everybody has been very respectful. Even the people who are
part, consulting bills.
Everything. Let me tell you something, Ryan.
If I
were to tally all the work that Ricardo has done over the years for free, when I drag them around all over God's country and he never charges anything for us, we couldn't afford them. Trust me on this one here. I'm the biggest penny pincher that you'll ever find in the world. And both of these gentlemen that are sitting next to you have done so much to make sure that we have this school and that this school is successful. And I would be more respectful in talking to them.
I just don't think it's appropriate to come in and do business development and build that as a professional service. Because coming into a board is business development. You're working with your client on the business development side. You're not coming in to conduct your business. They're here.
Ryan, I do respect your opinion, but right now I think you're out of order.
And I've looked at his invoices as well. Approximately 18% of what he billed us for was sitting in board meetings. And I'll take a look at that resume.
He is here to support the board.
True.
And being at a board
meeting. And so is Karen, by the way.
But 18% is a lot of percentage to sit in the board meeting.
I mean, that's part of his job.
I'm just saying.
So,
Joe, if you were the lawyer for the board, the lawyer came in from Young Conway, the lawyer came, did the legal part, and left. That's how it should work. So he should come in, do the business part that he's involved in, and leave.
And in some meetings that I recall, Ricardo would say his piece and then leave. He wouldn't stay around till the end. So could there be a difference of opinion about what... I don't feel my client's everything, and neither does Ricardo. So at the end of the day... He does his job, and he gets paid.
Did you get a positive reference from academia for Ricardo? Did you actually speak with
them? I spoke with Dr. Maria Alonso, their president, mm-hmm. last Tuesday.
Did you speak with
her? I communicated with her while she was in Italy. Then when she came back, we spoke. And Dr. Maria Alonso, she will give Ricardo, right in front of you, the best recommendation possible. Because she knows what Ricardo has done for that school. The rumors that are flying around and the innuendo is totally unnecessary and unprofessional. And Dr. Maria Alonso and the interim person who is right now will also tell you that Ricardo's work has been invaluable for the existence of that tenant who is paying us upwards of $800,000-$900,000 a year right now.
Did they give you that in writing? I'm just asking.
I will bring Dr. Maria Alonso anytime to any meeting with his board and ask her to say that. She's a very reputable individual and she will not speak lightly of anything.
I appreciate that.
And Jeff, can I ask a question? I'm assuming you're talking about Dr. Seabulus.
No, I'm just speaking of, did they give you a recommendation in writing? Like, I know the board gave Dr. Mayer, like, it's a recommendation in writing for any new perspectives, and I'm just asking, where's your recommendation?
That can be generated. I'm just asking a question for clarification when you talk about the head of school. I'm just asking who you're referring to.
Whoever's in charge of academia that you work with last, and the board president, which you just said, so I was just...
No, thank you.
John
Stewart. Thank you, Mr. Chair. What are the effective dates of these
things? July 1st. The new fiscal year for the school.
Okay, thank you.
A question more specifically. I enjoy both these people. I think we need both positions or something like them. I'm not sure if the board is exactly the right strategy, because what happens ultimately with hiring and firing them? I mean, when you have a co-equal, I'm trying to envision the tree, you know, the visual tree of ownership of each individual employee. And what I don't want to see is a setup where it's us versus them. I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see education versus facilities. And constant battle with the budget. I mean, who ultimately has control over the hiring and firing of each individual employee in that school? I mean, who's also responsible for teachers and parents and for guarding these responsible facilities? I'm curious how that's going to work and get in front before you decide on this.
So one of the things that we did discuss was that Denise was going to have, one of the things that I went through was she was going to be able to hire and supervise school staff. And what exactly that means, we can put a finer point to that during this process with Denise and finalizing these terms. And if there are issues about whether or not someone's in the operations sphere as opposed to the academic sphere, we can take that on a case-by-case basis. But I think the idea is that there's the business part and the school and the academics part. Denise is in charge of the academics part. Ricardo's in charge of the business, of the operations slash business part.
So the only thing I want to say, last time I promise, this is it. I'm worried that in 2 years, you're going to realize that the co thing doesn't work. But then with thought long term, in terms of what I see happening is, you're going to realize that the co-leadership doesn't work, and then you're going to stick someone in over top, and in comes a new position, in comes a new person, possibly people from the past that have worked with the school, and I'm just concerned that you're setting up yet another layer when, you know, when we're already asking you to do that now, which is have one lead and have an operations person and the academics report to the one lead, which we're begging for to be Denise. And my worry is you're now setting that up for 2 years to bring someone in because, you know, they can't play nice in the sandbox again. Mm-hmm. Have you thought long term about that there's possibly some method to madness here, that's maybe where the school is headed?
We've discussed long term. It's still a discussion that's ongoing. This is what we have now. The two people are, committed to making it work. You heard Denise up here talk about checks and balances. That's going to be in every aspect in which they interact. This is going to be a marriage. And they're going to be part of the, at the beginning, it's going to be, what's the right word, assumed that they will work together. And you heard Denise say they as professionals will work through any conflict. Does that mean there will be conflicts that they can't handle? Of course. But at this time in this school's transition to K-12 and to build out the rest of the campus to get tenants in those buildings, this committee is recommending this co-leadership.
And if I can just sort of add to what Joe's saying, I actually think, at least from some people on the committee, that is the whole idea, that this is not the structure, and Joe said as much at the outset, this is not the structure for the rest of time. And ideally, I personally, and I think many people on this board, would like to see us reunified under a single head at the meet. This is not going to be, but it's not an idea that you stick another layer up top. It's an idea that eventually, when we are fully built out, a reorganization happens where there is one person at the top, and however that org chart looks, I don't know. But it's not sticking somebody over the top of those two co-heads.
I just think we're scared that a non-academic person is going to end up leading, which I think terrifies all families. Because, yes, we are a business, yes, we make money, we have huge budgets, I understand all that, but to have a non-academic in charge is not how a school should function. So that was my concern, so thank you.
I just want to say one last thing. A shout out again to all the teachers. You guys waited a long time for us to come out, and every board meeting, you guys come, and more and more and more if you come. And please know that we hear you. Not only do we hear you, but everyone who listens to that tape, when it's put up on the website, hears you.
Thank you.
Katie.
Katie, Emily. I just wanted to say, off of what Tammy had said earlier about being united and supportive, and if I can speak a little bit for the teachers, and if I'm off base, you guys correct me, but first, we are really friendly here, so I don't want this to seem like we're very defensive and like questioning you. We're actually really nice, friendly staff, so obviously we would welcome Ricardo, and I just want you to know where we're coming from, and it seemed like it just came out of nowhere, out of left field. So that's why we thought, when we were here at the last meeting, and you're talking about Ricardo's contract, and then all of a sudden, he is on the agenda for the contract, and we're hearing, you know, what might be happening. I 100% agree that Denise can't just like run everything here. We are a huge school, but to speak to the background, and to be true, talking about the history, like we understand that, because when we started in sixth grade, we were like teaching in their ELA classes in the DAP on a Monday morning after a decent beer and books smelled like smoke, and we went on math classes, we're in the gym, and then we moved here, and then we moved to building 21, and seventh grade was in the gym teaching classes for 2 months. Like, everybody gets it, we're here, like, and I know I said it before, like, I have children here, I'm invested, but I also take a pay cut, like, I understand, so it is like kind of like a, sometimes it's a hard pill for us to swallow when I have like my 14th year experience matches, and I make like $42 an hour. It's kind of hard to, if you look at my contract, it's kind of hard to understand, like, and we need computers, and we need a gym, and we need to get paid what the other public school districts get paid. We need this. Like, if you want to retain high achieving teachers, that's what we need. We need technology, and we need a gym, and I want my kids to stay here till 12th grade and graduate, and we need that. But we also need to, we need a lot, so it's hard. And I understand that Dr. Nix is gone, so we can't just say, well, Dr. Nix, let's save that money and not hire anybody else. Obviously, people need, we need support, we need facilities, we have it. But when we're a K-12 school, yes, it's going to have to change, because you need to have a high school principal, you need to have a middle school principal. That's just how, you know, when we're a big K-12 school, that's kind of how it's going to be. So we only get 1 year contract. I mean, we just got our contracts 2 weeks ago. So it's hard to say, okay, so this is going to be a 2 year contract. Like, are we ever going to go back to the 2 year contract for teachers? Are we the possibility of that?
Hey,
are we ever going to maybe pay teachers what the district pays? State, this is it. You work in Red Clay. We're not in Red Clay, but we're located physically in Red Clay. Will we ever get any kind of salary that is equal to our coworkers, that people that are also, you know, public school teachers in the state? So we already do that. We donate to the capital campaign out of our paycheck, and it may not seem like a lot, but I'm already taking like hundreds of dollars a month less than what someone teaching a public school down the street gets paid. So it's a lot. That's why I don't want it to feel like we seem to be come out here and we're, you know, asking all these questions and trying to be very nosy and want explanations, but we are invested in the school, and we are very friendly. Actually, Ricardo is extremely qualified for whatever he needs to do. And yes, we're growing and we need all this. We do need more people, not less, we need more. We do need more. We need more support in the buildings, we need more of everything. More counselors, more administrators, we need it. But it seemed to us like it just came from left field. So I think what some concerns might be for some of the teachers is, do you already have a plan in mind, but we won't know about it till it's time? And then again, it'll seem like it's out from left, like that came from left field. Maybe not to you, because you might have, you know, this might seem like a reasonable plan, but 3 weeks ago, this did not seem like the plan. Because it was, is it going to be restructured? And the answer was no. So then it seems like all of a sudden it changed. So we just want to trust. I obviously have faith in your decisions, and if you think this is the best plan for 2 years, then it is the best plan. I'm just letting you know maybe what some of our concerns might be from the teacher standpoint of it. So that's all I really.
I'm just going to say one thing, Katie. You're right. We did say there would be no restructuring.
Right.
And we have constantly said Denise is head of school. And I apologize for that.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I understand things change, needs change. But just from where we're coming from, it just felt like what happened from 3 weeks till now. Yes, there's a need. There needs to be, but you know, positions that need to be filled, and we understand that. So, but it just seemed out of left field for us. So maybe that's why we seemed like it was all came out of nowhere.
And I'll just say, I speak only for myself, but I think I speak for all, if not most members, most if not all members of the board. We welcome your questions. So some of them are tough to answer, and we don't always have fully formed best answers, but I would rather sit here and get questions than how it is at many board meetings where it's just, you know, four people in the room and we're talking to ourselves. So bring it on. I like more questions rather than less.
It's a legal thing, sorry.
Okay, it sounds like pretty much everybody has spoken their mind.
Oh.
We appreciate that. I concur with Abby and the rest of the people on the board. We appreciate your comments. We enjoy having you here. We want to see you here in the middle of the winter. We want to see you here when there's nothing exciting going on, because we do need each other, and we appreciate and value what you do for our students and our families at the school. You're the driving force behind anything else. We at the board, we are the resource. We like to find for you the money and the resources that we need so that you can do your job here the best way you know how to do. And we value that. Unless there is any more comments,
no.
I would like...
What's the proper way? So do I make a motion? Or
I would like someone from the committee,
okay,
to make a motion and someone to second it,
okay,
if there is no further discussion.
So I will make, I'll make the motion. I'll try to make this as concise as possible. I'll make the motion to create the co-leadership model with a person in charge of the academic side, a person in charge of the operation slash business side, and that Denise be placed in the academic role, Ricardo Stojkic, Denise Parks be placed in the academic role, Ricardo Stojkic placed in the business slash operations side, with roles and responsibilities to be further defined.
As co-equals?
As co-equals. Each at a salary of $150,000 plus equal benefits for a term of 2 years. Is that enough?
I think so, pretty much. You covered everything that's on this list.
I think we should read it back. I think I lost.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, that will be your job, Laura.
I'm still typing.
I got you.
Yeah, like just
operations. Operations.
Right. Okay, then I'll put that in.
Point of work. I would suggest that you do two motions. Because some board members may have different feelings with each individual. Some may support Denise in the position. Others may not, or will support your partner.
Okay.
So I would think that you should do two motions, the same language that you talked about, Joe, but have two motions with one for each individual.
Okay.
Create the position first.
That's a recommendation. I'm
so
not trying to tell you.
Motions.
Sure. No, that's great advice, John.
It's
great.
I think it's create the structure.
Okay.
Yeah, three.
Okay.
Motions.
Okay. All right. I was trying to do all in one. But just, okay. So we'll create the structure, then
we
do.
Delete all that, Laura.
Three times.
Cut and paste.
Laura,
yeah.
These are right.
So, Laura, can you just read back the first part of that?
Motion to create the co-leadership model with a person in charge of the academic side and a person in charge of the operations slash business side, or is it just operations?
Operations.
Yeah, operations. As, and you can say as co-equals.
And then paragraph the motion.
What's that?
That's the end of the motion.
Exactly.
That's the end of the
motion.
Motion to create the co-leadership model with a person in charge of the academic side and a person in charge of the operations side, acting as co-equals.
I second.
Okay.
Mike seconded.
Mike seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Nine.
Sorry.
Or 7 yay, 1 nay. I don't vote unless I have to. Okay. Motion passed.
And then I'll make another motion to place Denise Parks in the role in the, describe it, Laura?
Academic leader.
As the academic leader, with basic terms of $150,000 salary plus additional benefits.
2 years.
For a term of 2 years.
I thought we were going to call it head of school. Don't mind me for interrupting.
Why don't we work with Denise on the title?
I don't think we need a title tonight.
Okay.
You're okay with that, Denise? Work on a title with you?
I prefer that as my title, if you do. I prefer head of school because for reasons that we discussed, unless there's further conversation about that, I feel more comfortable with that. Why not put the title?
I have no problem with head of school.
Nor do I. I think that's what it is.
And that's what we've discussed. I'm not trying to put forth something that we can.
We've named her head of school before. I truly, truly, we cannot keep going back and revisiting stuff. We're going to lose the confidence.
I think instead of doing it tonight, I think it makes sense to have, we haven't discussed it in any form of detail. And I think.
We all don't like him.
Denise included.
My personal thought is that.
Why she can't have that title today. Right now, we just gave Ricardo his title.
Yeah.
We haven't given Ricardo a title.
What my personal viewpoint is that this should be discussed. We need to project the right face to the community.
We will definitely take Denise's position and wish in considering this, but I don't know that we can fully agree on a title tonight.
Well, the community's here. I have to be honest. We have said head of school repeatedly, voted her head of school. Yeah. To go back on this.
What role should it be if it's not head of school? What is her title?
Head of school, to me, and maybe this is wrong, head of school is kind of a generic term. If it's a term of art, then that needs to be explained.
Sorry.
I mean, I see head of school as... I see Denise in head of academics. If that's what a head of school is, then maybe that is appropriate.
Joe, can we put a motion for putting together our committee to instruct the final?
I mean, so my feeling is that somebody talks to Denise to formulate the real terms of this contract, that being one of them. And if it needs to come up for another board vote, it can come up for another board vote.
I don't see the point of having a board vote about a title when we're all sitting here and we've agreed on salary and two-year term. 7:45
tomorrow morning. If we have to be here to figure out Denise's title, so then I'll sit here. That's ridiculous. I don't want to. We've been working all night, everything up until this point, to come together. United for you too, believe me. We wouldn't get to nitty gritty details like this. And I talked about title is important to me. Head of school outwardly in probably I'm not putting you on the spot, Paul, but in like Department of Education world, out in the academic community, the head of school is in charge of academics. So there's superintendents or whatever, but when it comes to charter schools, heads of school are what handle the academics. And even to some of the examples that you gave, like down in Suffolk, there's an operations manager, and Ricardo, you can probably attest to this also. I'm not trying to usurp saying that I'm the head of school, and you're not. The head of school handles the academic side of things. That's the outward-facing role for the academic officer. So that's, and if we're voting on something, head of, like, overseeing academics is very nebulous. You know, it is. So that's, I'm trying to give you some rationale for why, and that we've worked together up until this point. Why can't we use head? What's the issue with that?
So what about something like, where does it use head academic officer? I'm just asking a question.
What's it?
It's a title.
I don't think there's... Okay, so that's fine. Laura, read it back for me, please.
Okay, I do have a question about the wording as well, a different place, and this is because of probably my English background, I don't know, but anyway. We have motion to place Denise Parks, and we were saying place Ricardo as well. I have issues with it because it's kind of like placing the thing there. We're not placing them, we're offering this position.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'd like to change it to a motion to make an offer or something like that. Give me some verbiage, but I don't like place. I don't think that sounds correct because they can still refuse the contract once we finish it.
So you want to offer a term sheet or
perfect wording, Laura.
Help me with that then.
Because
I said a lot of words.
Offer
motion to
offer the position.
The position. Okay. Give me 1 second. Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion to offer the position. I'm a teacher too. Motion to offer the position of head of school to Denise Parks with $150,000 salary with additional benefits for a 2-year contract.
Do we want to add anything to say head of school to be in charge of, I don't know.
Because we defined.
In the job description. Maybe add co-equal to.
Yeah.
Chief operating officer.
Chief operating officer or whatever.
Or head of operations or whatever. Maybe they should be.
We can do Ricardo as a campus operating officer.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, who's making the motion?
I will again. So can you read it back in order?
What I have so far. Motion to offer the position of head of school to Denise Parks with $150,000 salary with additional benefits for a 2-year contract.
And then at the end say as a co-equal with... Was that in the first one?
I think it's in the first. I don't think
I don't
we have to say it here.
I don't want to be redundant.
What if you define head of school in charge of academic affairs? Still, you have the title head of school, but you define what she's doing, no?
Laura, could you read back the first
one? The first one doesn't.
Sure. I mean, maybe we want to amend the first.
I think we need to amend the first.
Because we had only said motion to create the co-leadership model with a person in charge of the academic side and a person in charge of the operations side acting as co-equals. Perhaps we'd like to change the verbiage so that we say motion to create a co-leadership model with a head of school and campus operating officer acting as co-equals.
I like that.
Okay.
So do we need...
So I think someone else needs to move to amend.
Do we need a new motion then to amend
I'll
that?
To amend
I'm not sure what to do with this.
So George's motion is to amend it. To make changes as amended.
Amend it to what, George?
Adding what Laura just
said. She said.
Motion to amend.
Two. create the
Somebody makes a motion to amend, then you have to accept it, then it goes for a vote.
Okay, I'll accept it.
It came to me.
Okay, so it's vote on the motion to amend.
There you go.
Yep.
And who's making that motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion to amend.
To amend. Who's second the motion to amend?
I'll accept. And then
somebody
if you accept,
second.
Is that like a second?
Second,
yes.
I'll second.
Okay.
And Michael seconds.
So accept.
Mr. Meister, Mike.
Yes.
And Mike second.
John. That's what you're Mike.
Chair, you already passed a motion, and it was already passed, and now you're trying to amend a motion that was already passed?
Correct.
Typically, you amend a motion in process.
So maybe the proper thing to do is to reopen consideration on that motion.
Yeah, I mean, you guys follow Robert's rules of order, right? Is that in the bylaw to do that? So you already have a motion that was passed and approved by the board. That motion is done.
Yeah.
So you can't amend that motion that's already been passed. Either delete the motion, you need 3/4 of the vote to fill the board to delete the motion, but you can't amend a motion. Typically, you amend a motion.
Yeah, I think you're right, John.
You're actually fixing the motion, and then the process of being questioned. And you amend the motion. So you're coming in.
He's correct. No, you're respect the process.
So
trust the process.
You can delete the motion, make a motion to delete the previous motion, and start all over again, and make sure you get it right to your
you
right.
Guys are doing so great tonight. This just shows how often we amend motions.
Blink. All right, so we need a motion to delete.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yes,
so George make that motion.
Pass by 2/3.
I'd like to make a motion to delete our first
motion. I'll second. I need to make sure you do the first one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Against?
Anybody against?
Four.
Nay.
Are you against amending the motion?
No, I'm not. Sorry.
Okay, all in favor.
All in favor.
Yeah.
How are you?
Got 8 points.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's redo the first.
So, do you have it written there?
Okay. Motion to create the co-leadership model with a head of school in charge of academics and a campus operating officer in charge of operations, each acting as co-equals.
Laura, can you just read it one more time?
Okay. Motion to create the co-leadership model with a head of school in charge of academics and a campus operating officer in charge of operations, each acting as co-equals.
George, is that your motion?
Oh, yeah. Well, you said read again. I was waiting for you to say.
Sorry.
Do we have a second on the motion?
I will second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, 7-1. With Tommy Salto opposing. Okay, so now let's make a motion for each individual with the right title.
Okay. So I move to
offer
the position of head of school to Denise Parks with basic terms of $150,000 per year plus benefits could put in equal to chief operating off the
no.
campus.
No.
The equal to.
Okay.
Just put the term up.
Just a term.
Okay. For a 2-year contract.
2-year term.
Commencing. You want to start this?
Commencing day? July 1st.
2018.
Should we also say with a contract to be formalized?
Would that say a term? Yeah. Or term sheet?
Where it's assumed that we have to prepare a contract for both
okay.
of them, right?
All right, then don't need to be in there.
Okay.
Can you read that back, Laura?
Motion to offer the position of head of school to Denise Parks with $150,000 salary with additional benefits for a 2-year contract commencing July 1st, 2018.
I think that sounds fine.
Do I have,
I think that sounds fine.
Yeah, and you do have a second on this one.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous.
You want similar verbiage?
Are we ready for the third motion?
Just putting in the name and position.
Gotcha.
Motion to offer the position of campus operating officer to Ricardo Soper with $150,000 salary with additional benefits for a 2-year contract commencing July 1st, 2018.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
7-1 with Tammy Salto dissenting. Hey.
Yeah, I think I would just to make a committee to discuss all this with any organization.
I don't think you need I don't think you need a motion for that.
Huh? You do?
Okay, let's do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll make a motion for the board to authorize me to work with both Denise and Ricardo to finalize their contracts. And if any terms are inconsistent with what we discussed, it'll come back for discussion at the next board meeting.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All in favor? Joe is going to be developing the contracts. Okay.
Yes. Joe, I'm just trying to make sure I captured what you said. To negotiate contracts with any, issues or with any?
If there are any material terms inconsistent with what we discussed tonight, then they'll be brought back to the board for discussion, I suppose.
Now, are we board? Is it just who's doing it or just?
It's just me.
Can we have the?
But the final contract terms have to be approved by the board, correct?
Yeah, Joe's going to work with both of them to put the documents together.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Okay.
You'll bring them to the board.
And then you bring them
sure.
to the board.
Sure. Yes.
Which is in a couple weeks.
Sure.
Right.
But we have to ask, right? I mean, we've got a June and
June. Right.
Hopefully before July 1st.
What's that?
Yeah, and I could just quickly detour the staff because I just wanted to take a quick second. So first of all, thank the board for your unanimous support of my position. It means a lot to me to have your support. And I do look forward to working with Ricardo. We have worked together over the past few years. And I do think that we can build a good path forward. And I want to take a quick second to thank everyone for coming out tonight. It really means a lot. I know to the board you've heard that, but also to the school leadership to have you here. I can't thank you enough for being here, everyone, to support what we're doing. So we are moving forward, and it's the bright future ahead. I really do believe that.
Thank you. Ricardo, you have anything to say to us?
Well, I just thank the board and the opportunity for the exploration, and I personally wish that all of this come to fruition. Look forward to working with each of you, but most importantly, we talk about titles and all of that. At the end of the day, the success of Denise and my working together is going to dictate what's going to trickle down to the rest of the organization. We will set the tone for the success of this organization. I don't take it lightly. I believe in this campus and the vision that has been established by the board, and I'm honored for the opportunity to participate in this development for the next 2 years.
Thank you, Ricardo. Thanks all of you for coming tonight.
One more thing. Because we scheduled this meeting in June, the next regularly scheduled board meeting is June 20th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So we're going to push that another week to the 27th. Mm-hmm. And we'll notice it.
To give us more time to do more work.
Right, exactly.
All right, so we'll post it with regular notice. And okay.
Yep. I'll work with Laura.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would like to get a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Second?
I second.
No. Abigail, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Aye. Have a wonderful summer.
I want to stay longer.